Good morning. Today's scripture reading is found on page 1232 of the Black Pew Bible. It's from the book of Corinthians, chapter 13, and we'll be reading the whole chapter. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this opportunity once again to come into your house and to fellowship together with our brothers and sisters, and Lord, to worship you and just to be in your presence. Lord, I pray that you would be here among us this morning. And Lord, as the song says, that the outside world would know that we are Christians by our love. Lord, I just thank you for the love that you have shown to us and the fact that you enable us and equip us to love each other. So Lord, I pray that you would help us to do so. Help us always to live in love. And Lord, may the love that we have for you strengthen the love that we have for each other. And may you just be with us this morning and open our hearts to the love that you have for us and the message from your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Let me say, first of all, that it's a privilege and joy to be with you, to share in this fellowship, as well as the message that the Lord has put upon my heart. While Joseph, I hope Pastor Joseph is enjoying his holiday, I'm sweating here. So... But don't tell him. It's, you know, it's good to have a sabbatical year, to have a good rest. But after a while, you get too lazy, and you just don't know what to prepare. You don't have to prepare neither messages, you don't have to prepare the programs, you don't have to rush anywhere. You know, it's a good life. But I think after 45 years of service as a pastor, I think probably we deserve it, 1 year, sabbatical year for a rest. So after 45 years, I just didn't know what message to choose. There's so many of them, you know, hundreds of them. But the Lord put upon my heart to share with you from John's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 34-35, which speaks about the love about which we're going to talk today. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And I'm reading, of course, from the King James. I'm from the old school, very conservative. So I love the old King James version. So if sometimes it doesn't correspond with your translations, it's because some words are maybe changed or the order is changed. So Jesus speaks here about love. You know, a very small word, just four letters, but how much meaning there is in this word. For millenniums, this word was sung, this subject was sung about in ballads, in songs, in poems, in plays, in operas, in films, in theaters, in romance. There's millions and millions of books written about love And I suppose there's not a single person in this world that has never dreamed about perfect love, that is looking for perfect love and dreaming about it and hoping for love. And yet, you know, as we look upon this world, what we see just the contrary. We see throughout the whole history of man, from the very beginning, we see wars, we see hatred, we see murder, rape, violence, abuse, even in the church. I'm sorry to say, but it's true. Even in the churches, there are dissensions, divisions, accusations, fightings, intrigues, lies, and so forth. And yet everybody wants love. Everybody's searching for it. Everybody's hoping for it. So where do we look for, or where do we find love? Where does the world get an example of what love is, or what love should be? Jesus says, look to my disciples. Not to Christians, not to believers. Look to my disciples. You know, there are many believers in this world, and everyone believes something. And there are even agnostics everybody believes. Atheists believe also that there's no God. That's their belief. So Jesus didn't say, look to the believers. And we read even in the Bible that there were many who believed in him. And yet, we know what happened afterwards. He didn't even say, look to Christians. Because Christians can be deceiving as well. Unfortunately. We are called by this wonderful name, Christians. And yet sometimes we don't live up to it. And that's the tragedy of the Christian world today. Of the Christian nations today. And some even Christian churches today. That we don't live up to this glorious, wonderful, beautiful name but by which we are being called. So where do we look for love? Jesus said, look to my disciples. Quite simply, look to my disciples. You see, he says, by this all men shall know that you are my disciples. Not just believers, not just Christians. We are supposed to be his disciples. And that's a big difference between a disciple and a believer. Between a disciple and just a Christian. There's a big difference. And the difference is love. Because we keep the commandment, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. And it is a commandment. It's not just a desire, a wish, a hope that we, as Christians, we use that name, that we would love one another. But as disciples, we should manifest the love of God. Not simply love which expresses itself in feelings or sentiment, but the real love about which Jesus is speaking here. By this all men shall know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. How do we know how Jesus loved us? How do we know what sort of love to manifest? How does it manifest itself? This love by which Jesus has loved us. With which Jesus loved us. Well, in the very first verse of this same chapter, we read, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He loved them unto the end. And that doesn't mean just end of his physical life here on earth. That means to the very limit to which he as God, man, God could love. To the very limit there's no limit actually. Because his love is everlasting. His love is eternal. His love is endless. His love is holy, pure, selfless, self-sacrificial. As only God can love. Can we say, here ends the love of God? No, we can't. It never will. Because God's love never ends. There's no end to his love. And so we have, and Jesus asks us, mortal men, sinful men, which was sinners by nature, he's asking us to love as he loved us, as he loves us, which simply, humanly speaking, seems an impossibility. Impossible. And yet we will see that it is. If Jesus asks us to love one another as he has loved us, it's because it's possible. Jesus never asks something that we cannot do or achieve by his grace, not by our own force or will, power or whatever. No, Jesus asks us to love each other as he has loved us, right to the very limit. To the very limit. In Jeremiah, we read chapter 31, verse 3. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. We see that God's love is everlasting. It is eternal. It is endless. And this is the love by which God has loved us, with which God loves us today, each one of us. No matter who we are, what we are, he loves us. In the letter to the Galatians, Apostle Paul says in chapter 2, verse 20, that you know so well, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's love. He gave himself for me. Now ask yourself the question. Was I worthy that Christ should die for me? Did I deserve at least a little bit of God's love? Did I deserve? Did any one of us deserve God's love? And if we are honest, or we might say we were good, we are not so bad, we are not worse than others, but are we worthy of God's love? Did we deserve it, that he should die for us? And if we are honest, we'll say, no, we are not worthy. In John chapter 15, verse 13, he says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. His friends, I understand. If you have a faithful friend whom you love and who loves you in return, who respects you, who considers you, who trusts you. But were we his friends? Were we his friends? Again, it's a big question, but honestly, giving an honest answer, we can say no. We were never his friends. Never his friends. When he died for us, we weren't his friends. And yet, we see how much he loved us. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, we read again. Chapter 1, verse 21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in his body. That's what we were. We weren't his friends, we were his enemies. And yet he loved us so much to the very end of his divine love that he was ready to die for us and reconcile us to himself in his body on the cross of Calvary. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. We are so flippant about this word, love. God loves us. God is love. God loves so much the world that he gave his only begotten son. And yet if we think deep into that word, love, you know, it's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. We can't understand it. We can't comprehend it. Because it's impossible by our human mind to comprehend the depths and height and width and length of God's love, which passes, Apostle says, which passes all understanding. It's impossible to understand by our human mind the love of God, how much He loved us. But it's possible to experience it. It's possible to experience. Because we know in our experience how much God loved us. How much He still loves us. No matter what we are and who we were, He still loves us. Yes, God, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. For whom? For you? For me? Such unworthy creatures as we were or are, yet God loves us. He loved us to the very end of His divine love, as only God can love. The only measure of God's love is Calvary, the cross. That's the measure. From the height of heaven to the depths of hell, and with His nail-pierced hand, He embraces the whole world. The height, the depths, the width, and the length of God's love is Calvary's cross. That the only measure by which we can comprehend, understand a bit, and experience the love of God in our lives. Second, He loved us such as we are, or as we were. With all our faults, our failures, our shortcomings, our sins, our corruption, perversion, our evil, with our sinful nature, He loved us such as we were or still are. His love is unconditional. He doesn't make conditions. Repent first, change your life, be good, do this and that, like some religions demand. No, His love is unconditional. And then I will love you. Maybe I will love you. Maybe you deserve a little bit of my love. No, His love is unconditional. And we know in the depths of our heart how sinful we are aware, how corrupt our nature is. For evil is the heart and beyond all comprehension. Evil and sick. And only God knows the depths of our sinfulness, our perversion and corruption. And yet He loved us as such. He didn't say, be good and then I'll die for you. No, He died for us while we were still sinners. And that's the marvel of God's love. That's the marvel of His love. That He died for us while we were yet sinners. Knowing what was in man, we read. He had no need that anybody should explain Him one man what man is. You know, we always try to justify ourselves. Well, man by nature is not as bad as that. There's always something good in a man. There's always something good. And yet we know there's nothing good. For the heart is evil. Evil. And perverted and corrupt. Only God knows the depths of the corruption and evil that is in our heart. We don't like to talk about ourselves like that. We always like to think about ourselves that we weren't as bad as that. Not as bad as others. Murderers, rapists, criminals, thieves, and God knows what else. Drug addicts, prostitutes. No, thank you, Lord, we weren't like that. And yet, we are still sinners. Sinners bent on hell. On the way to hell. In hell, actually. And yet, God loved us. We read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. You know very well those verses. And you has He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, amongst whom also we all had our behavior, our living, in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, as the rest of the world. We weren't better. We were like that. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Incredible. Incredible. That he should love creatures like us, sinners like us. And yet, his love is unconditional. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, we read, but God commanded his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we repented. Not when we accepted Jesus in our little hearts. Not when we became good people. No, he died for us while we were yet sinners. And again, that's the incredible marvel of God's love, incomprehensible love of God, which we cannot fathom by our understanding. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, we read, and above all things, have fervent love amongst yourself, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. And isn't that exactly what he did on the cross of Calvary? By his love, he covered multitude of sins. Because it's in the end, it's love that crucified him on the cross. Love for us. Yes, he took our sins upon himself. But in the end, it's love brought him down to earth. And it's love that brought him to the cross and crucified him on the cross for you and me. In the first letter of John, chapter 4, verse 7 to 12, we read those wonderful words of Apostle John, who is apostle of love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And by this all people shall know that we are his disciples, that we are really his children. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us. And his love is perfect in us. That's how it's possible to love one another. That's why Jesus demands that we love one another. Because it's possible. Verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We love him because he first loved us. If a man says, I love God, and he hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. That's how people shall know that we are his disciples. And we are brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why they look to us. That's why they look to us. And that's what they want to see in us. Love one another as I have loved you. And the third point is that he has loved us as the Father has loved him. Yes, as the Father loved him. And you remember that he was the beloved Son of God. He was the only begotten Son of God. And God loved him so much. And yet Jesus says that God loves us with the same love. There's no two loves with God. He loves his Son better because he's beloved, he's obedient, he's holy, he's just, he's truthful. And he loves us less because we are sinners. With a lesser love. God has no two standards of love. God has only one standard of love. And that's the same love with which he loved his son. He loves us with the same love. Unconditional, limitless, eternal, pure, holy love. He loves us the same. Yes, he was his beloved son, and yet God loves us the same. We are sinners, or we're sinners, but we are saved by grace now. God loves us and loved us with the same love. Look to John chapter 17, verse 23. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and that you have loved them as you have loved me. As you have loved me. As you love me. You have loved them with the same love. The same measure of love. The same quality of love. There's no two different qualities and measures of love with God. It's one and the same. Verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world. And that means that God has loved us before the foundation of the world. That means why you and me, we were not there yet, yet God has already loved us. And he has purposed to save us and to redeem us through the cross, through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's the depths of God's love. That's the greatness of God's love. In chapter 15, we read verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Continue in my love. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. No less. No more. Well, in one sense, maybe more. Because nobody died for Jesus. But for us, Jesus died. God sent his son. Of course, Jesus was perfect. He didn't need that anybody should die for him or shed his blood. That's true. But God loved us so much that he didn't spare his own beloved son and send him to the cross of Calvary. So there we are. Jesus says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. That's the distinction between Christians, believers, and disciples. Between the world and the disciples. And as I have loved you, so you love one another. And the question comes, how is it possible? We mentioned that question at the very beginning. How is it possible? Well, it is. If Jesus demands it, commands it, then it is possible. You remember Romans chapter 5, verse 5, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That's how it's possible. It's not by our own efforts, not by our own strength. It's not by our own will. It's by the Holy Spirit who dwells in our hearts, which God gave us just for that. That we might love one another as he has loved us. Because the first fruit of the Holy Spirit is what? Love. Yes, love. And that's what he sheds in our hearts, God's love in our hearts, so that we might love each other. And that's why we have to examine ourselves, where we stand, and how much place we give to the Holy Spirit, how much freedom we give to the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking here like some about talking in tongues and healings and everything. I'm talking about love, and that's big difference. That's why we read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I might do all those things, but if I have no love, I am nothing. I'm empty. I'm just zero. I'm nobody. Because love determines who I am. And love determines what relationship I have with God. In what relationship I am with God. And that's why we have to let the Holy Spirit shed His love, God's love, in our hearts. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we read verse 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. Not human love, not sentiments, not feelings, but into God's love, which is different. And into the patient waiting for Christ. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. Into the love of God. Yes, God never demanded from us something that was impossible. If He demands, it's because He's foreseen it, He has prepared it in advance, and He wants us to manifest it. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. So if Christ dwells in our hearts, He dwells in all His fullness. He doesn't dwell by little parts. He dwells in the fullness of His divine love. And the Holy Spirit sheds that love in our hearts. He manifests it in us and through us. So, it is possible. It is possible. And the last verse we read again in John's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 26. And I have declared unto them your name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. The love wherewith you have loved me may be in them, in you and me, and I also in them. And if He is in us, He is in the fullness of His divine love. You see, Jesus is the epitome. He's the essence of God's love. He's the heart of God's love. He's the very heart of God. And if He dwells in us, that means God's love dwells in us also. And we can manifest, and we should manifest that love. The question stays with us. Are we His disciples? Are we His disciples? How do we prove it? How do we prove it? How people can know that we are really His disciples? And that's one thing we have to check ourselves. We have to check our hearts, our inmost soul, the depths of our soul. Where do we stand before God? In what relationship with God are we? And does the love of God dwell in our hearts? Do we manifest it one towards another? May God bless this message to our hearts. Shall we pray? Our gracious and heavenly Father, as we stand in your presence, we realize that we are not what you demand from us. If we are honest with ourselves, Lord, we see that there's so much that is still missing in our hearts. And yet you demand that we love one another as you have loved us. You demand that we fulfill your commandment. It is your commandment. It's not just a wish. It is your command that you ask of us to accomplish. And it's only by your grace, as we are saved by your grace, and we walk by grace, and we live by grace, and we are filled with your love, by your grace, through the Holy Spirit which dwells in us. So Lord, we ask that you would really possess our hearts completely, our minds and our souls and our bodies, which are the temple of the Holy Spirit, so that people might really know that we are your disciples, that we are really your children, that we are really saved, transformed, regenerated by your love and the sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.